the Australian Open is a tennis tournament in a city where it can likely be assumed that those players will bring the virus here. There is a difference between people who are returning home and people who are coming here as part of their job. These are elite athletes who are coming here to work.
There are some training requirements that tennis players would have to maintain there.
Daniel Andrews talking yesterday, the Premier of Victoria, all about the Australian Open. And now we have ourselves a date, February the 8th, for all players, for everyone, tennis fans included. We can work backwards from that date now, February the 8th. Roger Rashid joins us this morning for Berrick Jaguar Land Rover, closer than you think. He's coached some of the very best players in the world. And when it comes to preparation for the first major of the summer, we thought that he was the best man to talk to. Roger, thanks for your time. Good morning.
Morning, Jack. Kingy, how are you guys?
It's nice to have a date now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, it's been a vulnerable year, hasn't it, as far as how do you prepare for anything, whether it was AFL or any sport, really, around the globe and nation. So, but for tennis players, it's, they've been sort of walking the tightrope as far as what the starting date was going to be here in Australia, or potentially not, no tennis being played in Australia.
So how would the players have been treating the last 6 weeks, Roger, not having a date, but knowing that it was going to be somewhere in the vicinity of mid-Jan to mid-Feb? Would they have been just having a baseline level of conditioning, or would they have been ramping things up now?
Well, I think the tour virtually finished only 2 or 3 weeks ago, really, with the final eight being played, the Masters and the women finished probably a little earlier than that. So they would have automatically gone into a little bit of switch off mode and recalibrated, had a small break, and then got into a pre-season as normal. Generally, there's the season finishes around November, the start to mid November, and then there's 2 or 3 weeks off, and then they ramp into a pre-season and get here at the start of January. So not a lot would have changed, particularly in that scenario. So for the players, they would have just been working. Normally you've organised, though, a playing schedule. You know that I might be playing in Brisbane or Perth or Sydney or Adelaide or Hobart, and then travelling into Melbourne and then getting the Australian Open. So getting 1 or 2 weeks of match play under your belt, that would have been the difference here, is there's not going to be that. So how do you simulate that? What sort of preparations needed to actually get yourself up to speed, considering you're going to be jumping in the men's best of five versus and the women obviously best of three? But it is a grand slam, and it's a big prize.
Roger, I'm hearing about the 5 hours that'll be allowed, you know, given some scope during the quarantine period. 2 hours on the court, an hour with the weights program, and then obviously a couple of hours to be out and about. Can you let us in a little bit on what, whether that's doable? Is that enough training? Is that enough to prepare yourself through that 2 week block? And what would a normal program look like at that stage of your preparedness to play the biggest tournament at the start of the season?
Yeah, well, I think if you so 2 weeks out, King, you'd be potentially looking to play an event. So yeah, You're playing a tournament around the country. Now, the reality is you could lose first round, so you've gone out there and played for an hour and a half and you're out, and so then you've got that week or the next week to, you know, a couple of weeks to lead into the Aussie Open. In that period, you're really going to look for, you know, the week, let's take the week leading in, you're looking for a couple of hours a day of tennis, and so roughly, and then a little bit of training on the side leading in. But when you really think about it, your preparation should have been done. So you're just sort of, in a way, you're killing time that week leading in. This is a little different because there's a bit of anxiety around people not playing any matches. You've got to remember there's, like a lot of athletes, are very robotic in what they their calendar looks like and what they have, the stepping stones they take to get there. So they'll be trying to formulate, probably put together a lot of match-type play. The drilling and all those sort of activity, that type of training would have been done before coming into Australia, I would have hoped. And then when you bounce into Australia, it'd be like, okay, how many times could I get out there and play someone in, you know, for 2 hours let's lock down and play a match type scenario, because that's, you're really just looking for point creation and sort of getting yourself, you know, into that mode leading into the Aussie Open. That's how I would be playing the week leading in.
You got a very good vibe of the professional tour at the moment, Roger, men's and women's. Without naming names, you don't have to. Will there be some players who might look at this as just being all too hard and won't come?
potentially, depending if there's family attached to that, and they, you know, that they want to travel in big teams. So you got to remember the big boys, the big guys and girls, travel with teams. You know, there's some of them have got 10 or 12 people. When you look at agents, etc., traveling around with them here, there's not going to be that ability. You've got one or two people traveling with you, so the teams shrink, and you're virtually operating like you're new on the tour, with just being able to afford a coach and maybe a trainer, and you've got to sort of navigate through that way. They've also been conditioned to this already. At the US Open, it was very similar. So their first major they got to play this year, and so they're already in that sort of COVID conditioning around the tennis facility and tennis stadium and city. So there's not a lot of new activity that's going to be taking place for a lot of these players. And look, it is a Grand Slam. There's no doubt, you know, they're big prizes. And once you're involved in it, and, you know, once you're involved in it, and, you know, once you're a competitor, you're always a competitor. There's no doubt about that. You just put them out there. And they've proven as well, the tennis players, that they've played for keeps already with no fans in the stadium.
Of the top bracket of players, Roger, who's likely to sort of struggle the most with this sort of setup? Because if we can wind the clock back a little bit, you know, it's easy for some of these top liners to lose concentration. Murat Safin is one that I think in the past was known to lack a little bit of concentration.
Murat Safin?
Well, hey, King, he doesn't have to. He's got no one in the crowd to look at now.
And he used to bring half of them with him. That was the problem.
Exactly. So he'd probably be, this would be ideal for him, these scenarios, like limited crowd. He locks into his opponent, and then he becomes a very dangerous player.
Well, look, who's the modern Murat?
Well, they're catered a little differently, these guys. I think that the hardest thing for some of the players, if you look at the big boys and the on both sides, the ATP WTA Tour, they normally play in big stadiums with big crowds with a high energy voltage around that court. Now, when they're walking, you know, they've played matches where there's been nobody in the crowd, so they've had to stimulate that type of the energy in the air and in the room. And that's probably, you know, for a lot of the other players, they're not playing in front of those big audiences. So no disrespect to them, they just don't get that opportunity often. So it's one of those things where you've got to create your own energy. The beauty about this is when we're practicing around the tour, around the world, there's a lot of practice matches being played between players, especially on the men's side. The women seem to keep to themselves a little bit with their coaches, but the men do lock in and play each other off the side there and play a lot of practice sets and matches. So I've been really impressed with the product that's been offered, like it was with the AFL. I think they were able to get out there and compete, obviously, with the crowd there and the energy. There's different adrenalines attached to that. But I've been pretty impressed with what I've seen throughout the course of the year with the players.
Roger, just lastly, I was thinking about the Aussie tennis players, men's and women's. Are they at a little bit of an advantage here, given that they, as long as they're here in Australia right now, which a lot of them are, that they actually won't need to quarantine?
The ones that have actually stayed here, you know, John Millman's come back, he's had to quarantine. There's a lot that have had to come back and quarantine. But they get a little bit of advantage. You know, do you ever read too much into that? I'm one of those guys that throw all that rubbish out. But you can create your own scenario in your head and think, oh, that's an advantage. And some people play on it. But once you're out there and the ball's in, you know, part of the court, you could actually be able to execute. It's pretty simple, I think. So I like to dumb it down and thinking that there's an advantage there. It's a basic game. Once you're out there, you've got to be able to do the activity.
Next time we talk, Roger, I want an update on what Murat Safin's actually up to, where he is in the world and what he's doing. I know you love a project.
He's got a great catalogue, King, and I think you'd be all over it. You are a person who does like to dissect stuff. It'd probably be right up your alley, to be perfectly honest.
I'm a numbers man, and I get the feeling Murat's a numbers man as well.
It's got a war room written all over it, this one, I reckon.
Yeah, he liked to play with the majority, didn't he?
Different numbers, yeah.
Roger, thanks for joining us. Always grateful for your time.
No worries, guys. Have a good day.
Roger Rashid joining us for Berrick Jaguar Land Rover. Closer than you think. Let's see what Murat Safin's up to during the break as well. 1-300-736-736 to join us. 0433 98 11 16. It's summer brekkie.